We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, guys? Welcome into the latest OBR Film Breakdown. This is a Monday, April 15th episode. It's just going to be me, Jake Burns, here solo. We are, I'm not trying to necessarily fail over the weekends here, but I would think you would agree with me, NFL content is a little shallow right now. We're talking about the draft a lot, 5 days a week. I've tried two straight weekends to get somebody from a bigger draft circle onto the show. It hasn't quite worked out. I'm going to keep trying to do that in the coming days and try to pin down. Listen, the thing I think that happens here is that the Browns don't have a first round pick, don't pick until 54. A lot of the people covering the draft don't really spend a lot of time thinking about Cleveland because everything is first round centric. And I think sometimes the Browns can get put on the back burner with some of that stuff. So I don't think it's like a knock on anything here other than the situation that sometimes the pressing need to have conversations around the Browns draft picks just don't sort of work out with some of those guys really busy trying to cover the top half of the draft. So, like I said, going to keep trying. Can't promise we can get one of those guys, but we're working hard to try to get Dane and try to get some others. Just haven't had a chance to see those things work out yet, but keep asking. We're just really 12 short days away from the draft. If you're going to tune in on Monday night's Twitch show tonight, actually, that show is going to be a first-round prediction mock. I think that that's going to be a fun angle to take and probably looking at which guys we prefer the teams in the division, Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, to stay away from those guys, people we don't want to see inside this division year over year. So I think that will be a fun exercise, so tune into that if you would like to learn a little bit about what Andrew and I think of the top half of the draft. Could be a fun little exercise to do, so we're going to do that. Obviously, there are some things to hit on here. Happened late in the week. Not a ton, but just some stuff that happened around the Browns. So the biggest piece of roster-based information was that the Browns decided to move on from Leroy Watson. It's a pretty crowded tackle room for the Browns. Jerron Christian was the other sort of fringe player. Jerron obviously played out in front of Leroy Watson here, but those were the two that were brought in late. Obviously, if you pay attention, the Browns had four tackles, right? And then they unfortunately lost one of their Ty Nsekhe, one of their options that they brought in early before Jerron Christian and before Leroy Watson. They brought him in on the practice squad. He got hurt too. So between Wills, Conklin, and as you recall, DeJuan Jones, then you start to look at James Hudson, and James Hudson was the one that kept some health throughout the year. But they were trying to figure out sort of that revolving door on the left side. They went with Jerron Christian. Leroy Watson didn't play a ton this past year. He was picked up from the Browns, from the 49ers practice squad. The Browns brought him over to just provide some depth. He didn't play a ton, like I said. Started that Bengals game at the end of the year that didn't really matter all too much. Played 55 snaps, 28 snaps on special teams. So the connection here is that the Browns get the 227th pick in the upcoming draft for Watson. The belief here being that Bill Callahan, now as we know, the Titans offensive line coach, wanted him, saw some potential in him, enough to get the Titans to come off a late draft pick for him. So take that for what it's worth. We can either be concerned about that in some sense, or you can feel really elated that they were able to turn Leroy Watson, a practice squad player, into some sort of selection in the upcoming draft, right? Remember, you start to package those sixth, seventh round picks together. Those are part of the things that are appealing to move up around earlier in the draft or acquire a pick earlier in the draft. If you recall, like the Browns turned a seventh into a sixth, and then sometimes sixth can be a part of the draw to get your fourth round pick turned around. Like, yeah, obviously picking the 227th player in the draft isn't the most appealing thing this year, but if that is a pick that you can parlay maybe into either a package deal for something else, or, you know, sort of wrap that pick into a future year's pick a year ahead, or sorry, a round ahead, then that's, you know, there's value, right? There's value. So on the surface, it looks very minimal, but getting something of potential future value here for Leroy Watson, a guy I think we would all agree would have a hard time making this roster in general, loaded position. I think that we think the Browns are going to at least highly consider taking another one of these guys. You feel really good about it. Now, Titans, worst offensive line, certainly a group that's looking to maybe try to find some gems that are hidden. Maybe that's a chance for Leroy Watson, giving him a little bit more run there than he would get in Cleveland, which gives him a chance to get better, which gives him a chance, obviously, to make an impact. And I didn't even mention the Browns signed Hakeem Adeniji as well. So, yeah, it's just a really overcrowded position room for the Browns. Coming off of a player like Watson to get a pick back, that to me is a meaningful outcome, right? That's really the only bigger piece of roster movement that's happened. We've, again, heard some rumblings of picking up that fifth-year option for Greg Newsome, but we haven't seen the Browns do anything official. They don't have to make that decision for a little bit yet. So that's probably the next big piece of roster news to come out, unless, of course, Greg Newsome is traded. But we don't have any inkling that that's going to happen right now. We've had no concrete rumor in place for a little over a month surrounding that sort of situation. And I continue to think that could be a draft, a second or third draft day type of deal, or a potential deal after the draft. I think we all hope that maybe something can materialize before this draft, but I think that's a chance where you get a team who didn't get a corner early in this draft the way they wanted to and is willing to part with something significant in next year's draft to make that sort of move. I think that's the most likely case, and we'll see if the Browns even want to make that sort of move considering the position scarcity across the league and maybe holding on to him for the season and sort of riding it out and figuring out if the value gets higher closer to the year. So Greg Newsome, all quiet there other than the fifth-year option. We'll see if that materializes in any significant way, right? So otherwise, I think that, like I said, there's not a ton going on outside of, like, at this point, just mock drafting. And I think what I wanted to do was take a look at four different options the Browns could use here. You know, I like to do, at least last year, we were doing these four mock draft simulators, which I thought were kind of fun. You could pick a different simulator for each one and go through and sort of look at what results could be based on different simulators, which give you different boards, right? So I think that that's a fun thing to do, and we're going to kind of just do that today. I think it gives us a wide variety of outcomes because players are valued a little differently on these different boards. So what I would like to do is go through ESPN Simulator, which just launched back live again, the NFL Mock Draft Simulator, Pro Football Network Simulator, and Pro Football Focus Simulator, and give you four different examples of drafts we were able to cook up. No trades, all picks that we have here, the six picks the Browns have, right? Actually, ESPN did not give us the six picks, so that's a bit of a bummer. They have not updated that, but the other ones did, so that one will only give us five, but maybe the Browns come off of a pick and they ultimately only take five. Who knows? But that's the rundown. So we'll go through each of them. And then what I would love to do is hear from you guys on which one that you liked, which one you preferred. Because what I tried to do is, like, when you're doing these drafts, guys, you cannot, the Browns only have six picks, two of which come inside the top 100. You have a fringe top 150. I even like saying top 150 sounds wild, but you have these positions that you would really like to see the Browns maybe add a body or add a serious talent, and it's just so limited in what you can do. So if one draft you want to highlight defensive tackle, offensive tackle, then it's like, okay, they're not drafting a wide receiver. Maybe they're not taking a tight end. Maybe they're not taking a linebacker. So I tried to give in these different simulators an idea of what it looks like if they draft the way they do and kind of like what you're leaving on the table. So, for example, the ESPN one, we took Michael Hall, right, the Ohio State Mike Hall defensive tackle, who is getting some like late first-round buzz from some people. I don't know how serious that is, but the folks at ESPN think there's a 77% chance he would be there at pick 54. I think it's probably a little lower than that, but if he's there, a player that could certainly interest the Browns. At pick 85, we went with Karan Amagadeji, right, the Yale product. A nice option there at pick 85. They think there's an 80% chance he'll be there. Dane gives him a second, third round grade, so it's definitely possible. Browns have brought him in on a visit. So we don't pick again now until 156, and we got to make some hard choices, right? Audric Estime was available in this draft. Dane gives him a fourth, fifth round grade, so it's definitely possible he's there at 156. So we take Audric Estime. Sixth round pick, 206, we take Eric All. Right, the Iowa tight end, a little upside swing on Eric All coming off of injury. And then with our pick 243, we did not get 227, as again, they have not updated that. The position I would still like to fill is linebacker, where we take Jordan McGee, the Temple kid, who, again, sees there's some fourth, fifth round grades on him and some, draft prospect study guides and whatnot. So it's a pretty good value to get him at 243. So the example here is that the Browns don't take an edge at all, and they don't take a wide receiver. So you get Michael Hall, 54, Karan Amagadeji, pick 85, the Yale offensive tackle, Audric Estime, the Notre Dame running back at 156, Iowa tight end Eric All at 206, and then linebacker pick 243, Temple's Jordan McGee. All right. Again, one pick short on that simulator, but nonetheless, a good example right there of what we can do, okay? All right, so the next one we are going to do is the Pro Football Database. Now, we switched up a little bit. We go, obviously, to give you guys a little bit of a different look. We went defensive tackle first, then offensive tackle in the ESPN mock. Now, for the database here, we are going to go offensive tackle and then wide receiver. So the offensive tackle at 54 that we would love to land and was available in this one is Kingsley Suamataia, right? The BYU product we've talked about many times. At 85, we see maybe because he's a little bit older, could be some variance of opinion of him. Ricky Pearsall, I understand, 24, but at pick 85, I want a player. So we take Florida's Ricky Pearsall at 85. We take a value pick here based on some boards. Pro Football Focus very low on Trevin Wallace, the linebacker. Other simulators, and even Dane, is much higher on Trevin Wallace, linebacker out of Kentucky. We get him at 156. We get a good value play in Gabe Hall, strong Senior Bowl. Baylor defensive tackle at 206. At 227, we go to Mississippi State for another corner. Okay, this is a guy who's been into Cleveland for a visit. So DeCameron Richardson is who we're going to take. Excellent testing numbers. 227 would be a great value for DeCameron Richardson, another corner. Browns keep drafting those guys. And then at pick 243, we go running back. You guys know I like him a lot. I've talked about him a significant amount. Kamani Vidal, the running back out of Troy at 243. So again, to recap, NFL mock draft database, Kingsley Suamataia, right? The offensive tackle to BYU at 54. 85, Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver from Florida. Trevin Wallace, the linebacker from Kentucky at 156. Gabe Hall, 206, the D-tackle from Baylor. DeCameron Richardson, the Mississippi State corner at 227. And then Kamani Vidal at pick 243, the running back out of Troy. All right, so in, like, again, the mock draft database, we didn't take any wide receiver. We obviously bumped up a little bit on running back in that one. We also didn't take much depth any of the other places, right? So we took a tight end in that one. We did not take a tight end. The mock draft database. So again, there are going to be some of these where you leave without a position maybe you hope to attack because you're certainly angling to take as many best player availables as you possibly can. All right. We're going to take a quick break and then come back from break and do our last two mock drafts. So word from our sponsors, we will be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a lowly podcaster like me, the world is starting to understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. The NFL has been placing a larger emphasis in this area, especially that mental well-being. The Browns are leading the charge in this as well, trying to get their players to the right physical and mental peak every day, and that's what Unified Healing System is trying to do, and they're a proud sponsor of the OBR Film Breakdown. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement Systems, or EE Systems. If you haven't heard of EE Systems yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're in Cleveland or Columbus like me, or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access is easy and affordable. If you're interested in experiencing the EE system for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com/OBR. Again, that's unified with a YD, unifiedhealing.com/OBR, to learn more and find a center near you. A reminder, no material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE system. All right, so we switch over to the two most popular ones running the simulator these days, Pro Football Network. And again, different boards, different players drawn to this. These two right here, I feel, are the most accurate, but we'll give it a chance to, you know, again, understanding the draft works in different ways than sometimes we plan, but I feel like the mock draft database gives you some guys who I don't think will be available 156 and beyond. Anyway, in this one, we attack wide receiver and tight end. We avoid offensive line for the most part, right? Which is a bit of a different angle to go here. So at 54, we take Jalen Polk, the wide receiver out of Washington, who I think would fit this offense really well and be a guy at 54. You're not getting him later. So Polk at 54. At 85, a bit of a surprise because he fell down the board some. Some of the most people have him as the second best tight end. Some folks can maybe prefer a different player, but Jatavion Sanders, the tight end out of Texas at 85, is available. Right, so we take him all the way down now to 156. The edge out of UCLA, Gabriel Murphy, is the route we go here. Good value pick at 156. Tyrone Tracy, older player here, but a very productive and explosive running back out of Purdue at 206. 227 is a linebacker from Notre Dame, J.D. Bertrand, and then 243, an offensive tackle. So we wait around on offensive tackle here and go Ethan Driscoll out of Marshall who is, depending on some simulators and some evaluators, in that 5th to 7th round range. So getting him at 243 feels like a good chance to take, a little over 23, but again, that late, that's okay. Again, what position did you leave out here? Defensive tackle. Didn't take one of those guys. So almost no matter what route you choose, you're going to more than likely leave off a position you would maybe prefer to come out of the draft with one of those guys. Alrighty. So last one is Pro Football Focus. So the spot that I think that is likely, not likely, maybe that's not the right word, very possible that the Browns do go early because of mesh of the right talent with the pick is linebacker, and we haven't done that early. I did this with last week. I took Edgerrin Cooper at 54. I would also be fine with Junior Colson. I like Cooper a little bit more because I have more data on him, but I like the film as far as being a more explosive sideline-to-sideline player. I think Cooper has that advantage, even though I really like Colson, you know, as a downhill Mike run-stuffing type who can do enough in the passing game. I'd be fine with either of those guys. But in this draft, we take Edgerrin Cooper early, pick 54. At 85, we go receiver. So, again, skipping offensive line early here and defensive line. At 85, we're taking Malachi Corley. Strong, you know, difficult to bring down wide receiver with some downfield explosiveness, but also I think he does a great job yards after catch, so we're taking him out of Western Kentucky at 85. We decide to go running back, so we had earlier in the ESPN simulator did Audric Estime at 156. If I'm going running back early, I want him to be young, and I think Braylon Allen has a chance to be a fine football player out of Wisconsin, so we take him at 156. Browns had Javion Cohen, the guard from Miami, into the building. There's a chance they like him at pick 206. Tanner McLaughlin's a guy on film I like from Arizona. He is one of the older players in the draft. He's 25, but again, tight ends, can you get 4 years out of a player? Can he make your roster at pick 227? I like the selection because I like the player. I understand the age deterrent there, but again, you're picking at 227. I think there's a player that is ready to be an NFL contributor. Small. It's not going to be a leading a tight end room, but I like the opportunity to take a more established type in McLaughlin there at 227. And then 243, we take a swing on an upside potential at edge in Cedric Johnson out of Mississippi. So hopefully you guys enjoyed four different mocks. I think that it'd be cool if you hit me up, whether on Twitter, whatever, and let me know which one you prefer. I think there's a lot of varying results, and again, showing you examples of just you can't attack every single position, right? In this last one, you didn't get any interior player on defensive tackle, and you didn't get an offensive tackle. So as you go through this with the six picks the Browns have, barring some sort of trade back, it's important to note that you will not be able to pick every position you're kind of hoping for. Like, I see a route to linebacker, wide receiver, offensive tackle, defensive tackle, D-end, tight end, running back, right? I mean, there's some positions here that I think are in guard, right? You could talk me into guard, two players with one getting significantly older. I'm not sure you could talk me into somebody early at 54, but an 85 selection of a guard? Yeah, I think you could see that as a possibility. Betonio's aging. Wyatt Teller's contract's coming up soon, so definitely possible one that we didn't show. A guard. And then also taking a quarterback late. The Browns like Joe Milton. Could they take him with that additional pick gain, 227? Somebody like that. Michael Pratt, pick 227 again from that pick gained. I think Pratt will be gone earlier. I think there's a better chance that you could see Milton available later. But that's what we're trying to do here. Explore all those avenues. Tune into tonight's OBR Twitch stream. We will be doing a first round mock, and then we will go through it, like I said, spend time on the division, who's available there, and talk about guys we don't want to see in Cincy, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. We'll do that first-round mock, then we'll just fly through and do the Browns off of that first-round mock that we do. Should be fun. Come hang out with us, 7 o'clock. Thanks for listening to today's show and your patience on getting the show up. We'll have a full slate of shows this week. Thanks, guys, for being here. Make sure you rate and review the podcast on your way out. I really appreciate that very much, guys. Like I said, thanks for taking time out of your busy day to spend time with the OBR Film Breakdown. Be well, guys. Have a great Monday. Go Browns.